Welcome to our VIP interview series where we interview the virtuosos of Impellum. And how lucky am I today? I have Collaborator of the Year, the Queen of Marketing, even though I know how much Tracy hates me doing that, but I can't put enough words into how great this person has been since I've joined. I think the one thing, I said this to Tracy earlier, she's probably the kindest person we have in Impellum, and I'm sure I might offend a few people who might challenge her on that, but honestly, she is the queen of that. So it's fantastic to have you here, Tracy, today. How's your week been so far?
It's been great, Danny, and thank you for the kind words. The check's in the mail, so appreciate that.
So, what I'd love to do is, I've got a few questions I'd really love to ask you today. And I think it's important first, because all of you should know the wonderful Tracy. And as you know, she did really actually win Collaborator of the Year. And I don't know how Claire managed to get that without you seeing it when she was doing her presentation deck. But I'd love to let everyone know a little bit about your story. So if it's cool to start with, tell us about the Tracy. Who is Tracy? I know you've got an amazing career, but tell us a little bit about who you are first, if that's okay.
Sure. So I am born and raised here in Florida. So one of the few native Floridians. And I will celebrate, in fact, next week, hard to believe, my 32nd wedding anniversary.
Wow, so congratulations.
Can't believe that. I'm just 39 years old.
You must have got married at 10. I don't know how you guys can say.
Exactly. So, and we have a wonderful son who was recently married and just started his medical residency with his wife,
who's
also a resident, and they're in Philadelphia at the University of Pennsylvania, starting their medical career. So been really blessed in kind of every facet of my life personally and professionally. You know, it's funny because given the economic climate right now, when I graduated from the University of Florida, we're still licking our wounds a little bit from the College World Series loss last night, but it was an economic downturn. So it was a recession. And of course, I was brand new to the workforce. The only real jobs I had was work in retail and then on campus at the University of Florida. And it was fortunate. I got these great job offers coming out of college, and a lot of them were rescinded, if you can believe it. And that was happening not only to myself, but many of my, you know, colleagues who were graduating. And it was really kind of an unprecedented time, or so we thought. Then fast forward to the Great Recession, and we all know what a real recession looks like. But what I learned from that in terms of my career was, and it still holds true today, many years later, is the agility you need to have professionally is critical. So for me, I wanted to work on the ad agency side of the business initially. Instead, I ventured out and went on the media side of the business and was fortunate enough to get this great break, even during the kind of tough climate. But I learned early on, which was a hard but a valuable lesson to learn, that you got to develop the right skill sets. You got to market yourself kind of first and foremost. And you have to find the organizations that value that you're going to outwork anybody. And as our son was growing up, the one thing that we would tell him is your mom and dad are definitely not the brightest parents you'll come across, but we probably outwork most of the folks you would come across. And that's kind of been my mantra. And, you know, don't mistake action for progress. But, you know, what I like to think is if I'm focused and we're focused as a collective Impellum Group team on the things that are most meaningful to our team, first and foremost, to our clients, our shareholders, and our candidates, and we demonstrate the ability to be agile and respond to their unique needs, and then out-hustle everybody, we're going to win. And that couldn't be more true than right now with the climate. And I know this is the team that can power through that.
I love it. So I love that you talked a lot about the very early days when you started in you know, in the marketplace. And it's funny because the things you say, what happened then, I think are very prominent currently on LinkedIn or in our world right now with the market. But you know, because you were born into it, it's kind of probably feels quite normal, but you're so right about the agility within the marketplace, the outworking. You know, it doesn't matter if you're in a good or bad market, you should always work hard and apply yourself, but even more today than ever. I don't agree with you not being smart, so I'm gonna ignore that. Everything else I do agree with. And congratulations, and obviously all this, you know, the amazing stuff that's happening in your life. I think what's lovely is you've had an incredible career. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about your career and then when you joined Impellum, and what made you join this group and this family?
So it's crazy because I did ultimately end up working on the ad agency side of the business and did for a big 16-year period within my career. And I worked for the largest consortium of ad agencies and communications companies for a firm called Omnicom and one of their flagship agencies. And I grew from starting again in that recessionary period to when I left the firm, I think I had upwards of 75, 85 people on my broader team. And I got a call like happens, you know, and happened with Impellum Group from somebody who said, hey, I've heard good things about you and we've got this interesting opportunity. And it was a big pivot from what I'd ever done. It was working for television production firm that mainly did TV series, but they wanted to build a corporate or branding division with the focus on employee engagement and corporate communications. And that was a lot of my background. So I did that very successfully. And then again, kind of got recruited someplace else. And I've been fortunate, Danny, that I've never really kind of looked for that next opportunity. I've just been focused on the job at hand and growing and developing and hopefully bringing value to, you know, my leadership team and customers. But I was very happily employed, had been with Randstad for just shy of 10 years. And I had a former colleague send me a text on a Sunday evening and said, hey, I know somebody's looking for a head of marketing. I'm like, hey, I'm good, you know, but you can have them email me. Well, fast forward to Monday morning, my phone starts blowing up and I'm like, who is this that keeps calling and calling and calling? Well, it was our beloved Glenn Dubiel. And he had ultimately been referred by my friend. And he said, I've heard nice things about you and we should talk. And you know what? He was so transparent and so forthcoming and really just said, this is an amazing place. And if you don't talk to us, you're basically a dummy. And so I was really compelled to talk to him further. And then I think literally the next day in my first call with Claire, and she put me through the proverbial ringer, but you know, you can't help but talk to her and be, you know, really, you know, impressed with the caliber of her insights and her business acumen and just super nice person. And within, I don't know, a couple of weeks, you know, I decided I was going to leave Randstad. So I bring up these points because my career, you know, changes are probably less typical than most. But I think if you listen with your heart and, you know, certainly put the research in and do the legwork to know if it's a good move, you'll land on your feet. And I think that's true now more than ever in terms of saying, I know my role today and I'm going to get through kind of this extraneous stuff that might be impacting my world, but I'm going to take the right steps. And I know I'm going to land in a place. And if you go in it with the level of optimism that I think I try to bring, you know, to bear on most days, I think that, every day. You know, well, anyway, some days more so than others. But I think it really will help set you apart and it will help you be a more personally and professionally satisfied. And it will grow people on your team and around you. In a way that can be pretty profound. And one of the things I'm probably most proud of is seeing the people who have grown and gone on to, you know, assume really great roles within the companies I was with previously or outside, because I hope I've done, you know, some good things to help influence them and say, hey, you're ready for this next move. Yeah. And, you know, let's do it. So, yeah, that's my story.
I think it's amazing. And I think that the biggest thing that I hear from you is because you just stayed one true to you, and two, you controlled the controllables. Forgive me for forgetting his name, but Penny's referral, the person who had obviously the most impactful story over at the Performer Summit.
Yes, Austin. You know, yes.
Yeah. So you can only control what you can control. You can only, there's so many things that are outside your influence. And so, you know, people come to you, they warm to you because you just control your controllables. And I think a lot of people right now, and I feel it and I hear it and I see it, is that people are like, what's going on with the market? We've never seen it like this. You can't control that. Right. You can't control that at all. But what you've shown throughout your entire career is you control what you can control, what's right in front of you. And you show that heart, you show that work ethic. And, you know, I was privy to a conversation beforehand where you talked about, you know, the one thing when you act like, oh, well, I'm not the smartest parent, but my kid is a doctor.
Well, he's way smarter, but go on.
But the one thing you did say is we outworked the rest. I think that's the only thing. And I know it sounds tiring, people, but it's much easier to be successful and work hard for it than hope that you're going to cash in that lottery ticket, which there's a reason why it's 14 million to one that you're going to get it. So let's not be lucky. Let's make our own luck. Let's work hard for it. And I love how you've talked about that in kind of like your whole career, because then what happens is people call you. People come to you. They approach you about these things. And I think it's just an absolute blessing that in Pelham. And thank you, Glenn, for getting Tracy in. Thank you, Claire, for closing the deal. And thank you, Tracy, for accepting it. I'm going to move on, if that's okay, and pivot slightly towards, you know, really you're in marketing. So talk about, like, how do you leverage marketing resources to achieve even greater success within the group?
So I would tell you, when I look at the people who are probably some of the most successful within our in our organization or others, and people you may be following them online on LinkedIn or Insta, or you're following them on Twitter, whatever the vehicle is there are people who understand that if I have the appropriate resources and I'm targeted in my strategic approach, that you're going to win. And very often, the people I see who are most successful are the people who fully leverage the depth and breadth of what marketing or teams like P&D, so Lizzie and Anna and our training and develop and professional and development, you know, growth kind of team, I'll call them. There are a lot of resources that are put out there. If you spend a little time on the new know-how rebranded from Gladys or the knowledge libraries that we've built out, you have everything from email templates to PowerPoint templates to challenger sales insights. The people who leverage that and really collaborate and look at how important things like forward marketing are, and taking a candidate and presenting that CV to demonstrate the depth we have in a particular discipline, like, you know, Salesforce or mobile as an example. That's where I've seen people get from, you know, being a B+ player to an A+ player, is they understand if they leverage these tools to their fullest and they plan the work and work the plan, to use yet another cliche, you're going to win. And they're out hustling people for sure, but they're also taking the resources that are readily available to them and everybody else for that matter, but they're making a plan to start their day and, you know, do those send outs or forward marketing, or, you know, be on all their social profiles and sharing the recs that they have open, or actively following with the candidate before another recruiting firm is talking to them. And we've built a lot of these tools, and we've got great resources in the team with Caitlin and Kim and Molly and Tracy and so many collaborators across the enterprise And if you see people like Austin Hatch, whom you mentioned a moment ago, was our keynote speaker at the Performance Summit, you know, these are people who faced almost unsurmountable, you know, tragedies. But through that said, I could see my way clear to getting through this and then to that next place. And most of us will never face anything like that, tough economic climate or otherwise. But this is really a time where if you took some of the tidbits from Julia's town hall, the information that Claire and others shared, is that if we really put trust in teamwork and we really focus on the collaboration and the opportunity where we look at our global managed services business as being really the people who own this powerhouse client base. And then you look at our STEM brands and we own the most niche talent in the world and those top 100 candidates, whatever you want to call it, you bring those things together, we're unstoppable.
Absolutely.
And so don't underestimate the marketing resources, the strategic focus. Julia will be talking more about 300 core accounts that we're really going to dig into and really try to drive up our wallet share or group fill, you might have heard it called. Those are the things that are going to set us all apart. And we're a streamlined company, and the marketing resources, even aside, we are more agile than we've ever been. And with some of the new tools coming online, the likes of Bullhorn, which we're thrilled about, we're going to be unstoppable. So don't underestimate how those marketing resources and otherwise can really help you get to that next level.
Absolutely. I love that. So it's funny how we're using 300, because the whole film concept is they go into battle against a much greater army. Okay. Yep. And they win. They win. The long term, they win. So as 300, how are we working together? How are we leveraging our team? How have we protecting each other? How are we utilizing the resource? We have so much access to so many, one, amazing people, amazing tools, amazing resources to make people more successful and make it easier to be that. So I love what you said there. You earlier talked about just, you know, being like specialized, owning that. And I think I was using an analogy, and I apologize about this analogy, but I kind of steal it a little bit from Claire, but she talks about you don't go to Domino's for salad or chicken wings. I do like the chicken wings at Domino's, but you go for the pizza. It's like when you come to us, you go for our specialized talent, and we've got to stay true to that. The other part is, if you think about what Julia was saying, it's about the family first. No call should be cold. We have so much warm opportunities, both internally and externally. So we're just going to make our lives easier. And you can control that. It's within your sphere of operations and opportunities. So I think you're on the money about how we operate, how we work together. And it's great that Julia, from the CEO globally, is literally looking at how can we be better today? And the fact that we're talking about 300 customers that we've got, generally companies don't have that right now. Generally agencies are like, where do we even begin? So this is where we've got to really look at it and think, okay, let's not take for granted how fortunate we are today. You know, let's be hungry, but humble, and show that humility like you do every single day. And I think that's just evident in how you speak about what you do. And, you know, fundamentally, we have amazing marketing, amazing P&D, amazing support. Why would you want to do it alone? And, you know, the whole saying, I can go fast alone or further together. We want to go further together. You know, we want to become the verb. We want to be known as the number one go-to for what we do. We already are very close to it. So it's just about impacting that and working smarter and leveraging the people within. I love that. Thank you so much for that. I'm going to move on just so I can, unless you have something to add on to that.
Well, the only thing I would say is, we can't be experts at everything. And if everything is a priority, then nothing is. And I think we tend to flex perhaps in a climate like today and say, well, we could do A, B, C, D, E. And can we? Of course we can. But if we just focus on A, B, and C, would we win? Would we have more, you know, bandwidth to deck against it? Yeah. Would we be able to really not be just, you know, an inch deep and a mile wide, instead do something more substantive, that we stay with it and we deliver to it and we measure it and then we we tweak or it's an iterative process. Right now, I could see some trending where we're like, okay, what if we target this discipline? What if we do that? And we need to be open-minded. And a lot of what I've already talked about is around agility, but don't mistake action for progress. Let's focus on the things that are going to make the significant impact.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if there's not a strategic consideration in terms of what you move forward on, or you don't know where to start, there's so many bright people within our company. Talk about it. Again, trust, teamwork, collaboration.
Yeah.
You'll get to that right answer, but be cautioned that you can't be all things to all people. And that would be the only kind of caveat I'd add to, you know, my commentary there.
I love it. I love it. Don't be like a triathlete or a pentathlon to try to do everything. We don't need you for that. We need you to be the best you can be at what you're experts at. So talking about, because a lot of the things you say are brilliant and very philosophical and, you know, it can be seen for some people like hypothetical. So could you give us an example of where you've seen people leverage marketing and truly become a success?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll probably use an Andy Lim as an example where, you know, Andy's still relatively new with the company considering his tenure, but obviously high performer, qualified for Performance Summit, you know, was in the running for Rookie of the Year, you know, against amazing competition. But in every session we've had with Andy in his tenure to date, and we talk about how critical it is that the communications really zero in on the things we're known for and how do we really position how we can mitigate against fraudulent candidates and the process we're going to take an employer and a candidate through and how we're going to leverage tools like forward marketing and presenting candidates and doing it in a way where we're almost real time delivering a candidate to a client's need, maybe even before they know they have it. I think that's the difference between Andy and some others who, again, are high performers, but he gets it. And the difference I see is that he acts on it so quickly and he takes feedback and does it in a way where he's like, oh, I hear you. I'm going to implement that. And let me tell you, I don't love it when Claire says, hey, Trace, we could have done better on that. Who wants that? But you have to take that feedback and you have to be able to say, okay, that sucked, but I'm going to move on and I'm going to do better next time. And Andy just is as agile as it comes, and where he could probably tell you where everything is in the marketing knowledge library, and just his way of collaborating in a demeanor where he wants to win, he wants his team to win, he wants us all to win. And you put those things together, that's a formidable, you know, combination that I don't think anybody can beat, and his numbers, you know, demonstrate that. And you know, maybe one of the other examples within the Lorien family, just because it's top of mind, is you look at a Mike Gilday and the practice he's built and been among the top producers, if not the top producer. And he, again, is always open to saying, what can I do in this instance where he has customers saying, finding diverse candidates is critical to me, and coming to the marketing organization and saying, how do I deliver that in a way that my customer can understand we can be an effective partner in this, you know, objective, in this equation. And here's a guy who's crushing it, but still sees every day that if I do this in a more efficient way, I take the feedback and I look for the market opportunity and leverage the marketing resources, I'm going to be even more successful. So those are a couple. And there's so many across SRG, across BarTech. There's so many examples, but those are a couple that certainly come to mind.
They're great examples because they're two people who you would think they've got their S together and they know their stuff, yet they're still continuously learning. And it's funny because Deb Ross and Farron Congress, two of our best, are at Toyota today, I believe. And their philosophy is continuous improvement, Kaizen. That's where we've got to look at ourselves going, it's not about looking back, it's not about standing still, it's about continuously improving and collaborating and making it easy for yourselves. And these are two of the best examples in the world. Be vulnerable, team. Be open to help. Look at the team around you who are experts working beside you, and you don't even have to pay them to do it. They're paid already. They can just help you. So as we're wrapping up, I would love to ask you one final thing, kind of like, because, you know, you've experienced enough of the market and coming in, it's funny how we're talking about the market with marketing. If there was one thing you would kind of give advice or guidance, or maybe just a bit of the vibe you're feeling right now, and what you would, the one like Tracy Monsieur quote, or what mm-hmm. you would want to leave them with, what would be your mm-hmm. your statement you'd like to say to the Impellum teams today?
Well, I just say, stay true to the culture and yourself. I'm just sensing just a sense of stress and people who are pushing really hard and saying, well, I need that by tomorrow, or I need that by end of week. And are they important initiatives? Certainly. But if we lose our deliberate focus on, again, what's most important, and if we deter from our culture in a way where we're not empathetic and we're not coaching one another and we're not really focused on putting our people first, our virtuosos first, we're A, not going to have as much fun, which would be a bummer. But secondly, I don't think we're putting the Impellum group, what's really unique to us, kind of first and foremost. So I'd caution people to be mindful, to be empathetic that, you know, we have colleagues who've never worked in during the time of an economic downturn. Yeah. I'm old, so I've been through a few, but don't, you know, miss that we've got to ensure that people understand we're going to support them, we're going to build them up, we're going to give them the resources they need, and they're going to be successful because we're all committed to doing that for one another and ourselves. So that's kind of my parting comment is, stay true to yourself, take care of each other. Sometimes it's easier said than done because things get frustrating, it's the nature of our business. But don't forget that the cultural piece, and why I would leave the biggest human capital company on the planet now by a pretty significant margin and come here, because I saw the difference and I see the difference and I want to be a part of it. And I hope everybody feels that way.
I love it. What a way to finish. Thank you so much, Tracy, for your time. And it's always an honor having, you know, our leaders of the business today and tomorrow being able to speak to us and talk from the heart and talk from their experience, and again leverage this, use this as a kind of confidence and confirmation of what you need to do today. Simon Sinek, who I absolutely love, has a book called Start With Why, which is about focusing on your purpose, your goals. We'll get there. The strategy is the how. We're working towards it. But he also has another book, and I don't usually quote this one, but I think right now is probably the most like relevant to what you've just said, Tracy, is Leaders Eat Last. Yeah, let's feed each other with love, with kindness, with jobs, brilliant, with candidates, with supporting marketing. Yep. But empathize with the person in front of you. Mm-hmm. We don't know what they're going through, and it's already a tough market out there. And that's a big reason why I chose Impellum too, was because of the people. Because, you know, it doesn't matter how good the strategy is, unless you have the right people, it means nothing. So, Tracy, thank you so much again. I know how busy you are. It sounds like you've got a lot of important initiatives you're going to get done this week. So, I'll give
you
back your time.
All good stuff. Thank you,
Danny. Thank you once again.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you later.